Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions for Tuesday, February 24th, 2015. Hello and welcome to The Beauty Brains. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, and with me today is a man who has been to more Bruce Springsteen concerts than Springsteen himself, Randy Schuller. Hello, Randy.
Hello, Perry.
How are you today?
I'm great. You know, I love when you open the show with personal information about me. That's just great.
Or develop the Randy character. Yeah. I feel sometimes the Perry character gets a little too much development on this show.
Yeah.
Which is good for a narcissist like me. But speaking of narcissists, hey, I was doing a talk at the Society of Cosmetic Chemists meeting a couple days ago. We had, there were probably, 70 or 80 people listening to me talk about natural cosmetic formulating.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't be there, by the way. Something came up.
Yeah, so, sorry you couldn't be there, but we had a good crowd, and I got to really investigate this topic of natural cosmetics. You know, I stumbled on these, I went to drugstore.com and researched for this, and I was looking up natural cosmetic brands.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some funny brands out there.
Funny?
Yeah, okay. Here's a couple of names of cosmetic brands that I stumbled on.
Okay.
So one of them is called Chicken Poop.
I have seen that one.
It's Chicken Poop Lip Balm.
Yeah. Right.
Then there was the Anti-Monkey Butt brand.
Right. That's I think that's a baby line of products, if I remember correctly.
Right, I think so. Anti-monkey butt. And Rainbow Research was one of them, and Dr. Wood.
Dr. Wood? Why is that funny?
I don't know. They just, they clearly wanted to throw the word doctor in there and then get some sort of plant in there, so let's go with Dr. Wood.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, really, the chicken poop was really the strange one.
But
the natural cosmetic market is hot. You know, it's $30 billion worldwide. So
it's kind of a funny coincidence that you did a talk on that last night, because aren't you also selling a program on how to learn how to formulate natural products?
That's right. I'm just starting a course on formulating natural products. Actually, you know, I've got over 100 people in the course already. But we can still get more. So go to chemistcorner.com/natural-formulating and you can learn how to formulate natural cosmetics.
And thanks for that word from our sponsor. Hey, before we get to the question of the week, and we have a good one this week, I thought we'd play a quick round of improbable products.
Oh, I love improbable products.
Yeah, you know this game, right? I look for beauty products that are just too ridiculous to be true. Then I make up one that's even more ridiculous, and then I challenge you, Perry, to guess which one is the fake. And, of course, our audience can play along at home as well. Before we begin, I should mention that Perry, for reasons I can't even begin to explain, has decided to play against an imaginary companion he calls Chance.
So, yes, let me get Chance here.
Chance is...
How's it going today, Chance?
It's just
Chance. But,
too strange. All right. Yeah. All right. Are you ready?
Well, you know, we got to put the quirky in our beauty products.
Yeah,
right? Was that?
Yeah, we have our side serving of quirkiness on every show.
That's what
one listener told us. So anyway,
there you go.
By the way, I defy you to guess the theme of today's game. So here we go. All right, number one.
Did you do the intro to how you play improbable products? Just in case someone's listening to it for the first time.
Yeah, clearly you weren't listening because I just explained it.
Sorry, I was talking to Chance. All right, go ahead.
People, this is not easy to do. All right, number one. Here is the He-Man Nail Brush. If you're too macho for those dainty plastic brushes that women use to scrub their fingernails, then you'll love this new brush made from an actual galvanized box nail with bristles attached to one side. Number two, the eye brush. There's nothing worse than wanting to snap a selfie and finding out your hair is a mess. This will never happen to you with the eye brush. This new iPhone case has a built-in hairbrush so you can tame that mane before you snap that pic. And then number three, the vegan loofah brush. No self-respecting member of PETA would be caught dead showering with a regular loofah because it's made from the body of a dead sponge. But now, the vegan loofah uses a combination of alfalfa seeds, pine resin, and natural plant fibers to create an all-vegan body scrubber. So,
wow.
There you go. Which one of those is fake?
Those were excellent. I want the He-Man brush one to be true, you know. I wonder if they have a Skeletor version of that, too. The eye brush, a case for your iPhone, that's just crazy enough to be true. And then the vegan loofah sponge, good point. Sponges are animals, and you know what, I think, based on these, the eye brush is the least likely of these. So I'm going to say the eye brush is the fake.
All right.
Now we'll consult Chance. What do you think, Chance? Chance believes it is
number
the
three,
vegan loofah sponge.
Vegan loofah brush. I love it when you guys split your responses.
There you go.
But I guess both of you, you and Chance, are He-Man because you both believe that the He-Man nail brush is real. It is real.
All right.
It's not called the He-Man nail brush. It's simply called the nail brush. But it's made by the Home for the Blind in Berlin, Germany. So I thought that was kind of interesting that it's, you know, sort of contributing to a good cause when you buy one of these nail brushes. But it's an actual nail with bristles sticking out of the side to clean your fingernails. So there you go.
I'd love to see one.
So here's where you and Chance split up, I guess. The eye brush is also real.
Oh, my God. Of course.
It's actually called the Selfie Brush, and it's sold by the Wet Brush Company. But it's a case for your iPhone. You click a thing and bristles pop out and you can brush your hair with your phone. So
you know, as a short aside, when I was in Las Vegas a few weeks back, there is this proliferation of these selfie poles. So, you know, it's a pole, you stick your phone at the end of
telescope
it. They were everywhere. I couldn't believe how many of those things there were. It's a huge trend out there, at least in Las Vegas.
But this all means, of course, that the vegan loofah brush is made up. But the product that I based it on is even more amazing. Apparently, someone has created this eco-friendly new battery that's made from alfalfa seeds and pine resin. I can't even imagine how that would work, but it's a vegan battery.
A vegan battery? Like, aren't batteries already vegan?
In terms of not containing any animal parts, but I guess this one's
right,
made. Are you listening? It's made from alfalfa seeds and pine resin. It's like the professor on Gilligan's Island. How does he do this?
No, but what I was wondering was, like, is there like an animal based battery out there? I don't know.
Good question.
Wow, that's why it's on Improbable Products. Well, nicely done. You fooled me, but you couldn't fool Chance.
I think Chance is a wily one.
I think Chance just took the lead.
All right. Hey, I thought we could take a minute to kind of tune in and see what the Beauty Brains community has been talking about.
That's an excellent idea. I actually was looking at some of the comments from our last show. It was show 69. But it was one we did on bar soap. Do you remember
that? Oh, yeah, yeah.
We didn't necessarily get lots of positive comments from that. I think the big home soap lobby came out in force last week. I'll just read a couple of comments, and then we can respond to those. But one of them said, if you only tested one kind of traditional soap that is coconut oil and tallow-based and written off soap as damaging, your scientific method leaves a lot to be desired.
Hmm.
And then she further says that handmade soap makers spend a great deal of time formulating in order to find the perfect combination for the use for their use. Castile bars that has been aged 6 or 9 months, maybe longer, that sort of thing. So I think her point was that we dropped the ball on the soap. And that was followed up by Anna, who said, you know, I have to agree with that commenter. I do understand your chemical point of view, but I, since I've started to use my own handmade soaps 10 years ago, my skin has become softer and smoother than ever before. How can that be regarding to the supposed protein breakdown, the high pH, and the damage done to the natural moisture barrier of skin?
Wow. So are we gonna rebuke those comments?
Well, I think it's just interesting to point out here. First of all, no, we don't base our conclusions on just the evaluation of one soap bar type, right?
Well, that wasn't our study. That was one study we cited as an example. There are other studies, and I suppose we could go back and do a more rigorous, you know, meta-analysis of the data. But
right, but I think we were just pointing out that that's an example of, you know, of research that's done. That's not saying that's all the research,
right,
or all,
yeah, exactly,
that we knew.
Yeah.
And it's only a 30-minute show.
Thank God.
And, but then the point made by the second commenter was that, you know, she switched to her own handmade soaps and now her skin is much better than it used to be. So, you know, I think maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. It really depends. I mean, maybe her skin would have just gotten better or not. But maybe also she's got special skin that isn't negatively affected by soap, right?
Or less impacted by it. Or maybe she's a little bit, you know, she has an unconscious bias here because she's using her own product. And of course, you know, you're going to hope that your skin feels better after you use something you made yourself.
But let's just, I will concede that, okay, her skin feels better. I would say that maybe that's true for her, but it's not true just in general. And the advice we give here on the Beauty Brains is advice to a general person, not to individuals, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you have to also look at, you know, did she maybe change her skin lotion routine, you know, as well as the soap? And, you know, like you said, genetics play a big role in it, so maybe what's right for her isn't what's right for most people.
Right.
So again, we're just citing the research that says, for the most part, soap is harsher. That's it.
Right, yeah. So there you go.
Did you see, there was a tweet on this post by Cece, who said, Perry, you told us in the soap bar episode that your puppies ate your mom's detergent. Are you sure they just weren't foaming at the mouth because they had rabies? I don't know if you considered getting shots for the pups when you were a kid, but
I didn't catch rabies from them, so I guess they were probably okay. So very clever there, Cece.
Also, in terms of listener feedback, I posted an article to social media about using your vagina to make yogurt. Did you see this?
No, I missed that
one. See, this is why people need to follow us on social media for this kind of hard-hitting scientific journalism. But that was the story we posted. And our mutual friend Brian Kay commented on that. And he said, sorry, Randy, but neither of us are equipped to make yogurt this way. I'll just stick to Yoplait.
Very clever there. Boy.
And then finally, just one more piece of community commentary. We have a new review on iTunes this week.
Oh, yes. We'd like to read, if you do a review on iTunes, which we do appreciate, we'd like to acknowledge you on the show and read it.
Yeah, and this one comes to us from Deadbeat Slacker Homeschool Mom. Love that iTunes handle. And she says, I've been following the Beauty Brains since the beginning. Science, beauty, and humor, who could ask for more? Oh, man. But you know what? We could ask for more fans like her
who would review us on
iTunes. So please, it helps not only spread the word about the podcast to new listeners, but it also helps us get sponsors for the show so we don't have to plug Perry's programs. So please take a couple of seconds and review us on iTunes.
Yeah. All right. This we have a question of the week today, huh?
We do. This one comes to us from Jill.
Hey, Beauty Brains. This is Jill from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm interested in finding out about a couple things about foundation primers. These are typically used with mineral powder foundations. The primer products boast that they are formulated to reduce the appearance of pores, fine lines, and wrinkles, creating the perfect base for foundation application. They also claim to extend the wear of your foundation for a flawless look all day long, which is a feature I'm most interested in. Recently, I saw a suggestion posted on the internet that the anti-chafing powder gel product marketed by Monistat has the same ingredient that makes these primers effective. I'd like to know if there's any merit to the claims of the primers and if the suggested substitute would have the same effect. I think they extend the wear of my foundation, but it's hard to tell since I'm a fair-skinned person and I don't apply foundation heavily. I'd like to hear what you guys can tell me about the ingredients and how they work with the skin and if the products can possibly do what they claim, or is it my imagination and I'm wasting my money? Thanks for a great show. Hope to hear from you.
All right. Well, thanks for that great question, Jill. And I have to admit that using bikini chafing cream on your face does sound like the kind of ridiculous beauty tip that you would find on the internet. But before we get to that, let's take a look at how makeup primers work.
All right. Well, foundation primers, which are also called makeup primers, literally prime the surface of your skin, you know, the way you'd prepare a piece of furniture or a wall before you paint it. And so these products work in two ways. First, they provide an even canvas for the application of makeup. You know, they'll smooth down, you know, your minor surface imperfections like fine lines, wrinkles, and can even fill in your pores. These are the uneven spots that can trap the types of powders typically used in makeup. By essentially spackling over these minor imperfections, the primer can create a more even surface for makeup application. Second, primers can also make your skin more hydrophobic. This is important because the ingredients in foundations and color cosmetics are almost always water insoluble. Some parts of your skin may be oily, but others are not. So, like, you know, think of that T-zone that mm-hmm. you see on commercials.
Yep.
And that's where the oil glands are typically more active. By using a primer that is very hydrophobic, you can help the makeup adhere to the skin more evenly. So even though all makeup primers function in the same basic way, there are differences between how the formulas function. So why don't we take a look at three different types of makeup primers, and you can take it from here, Randy.
I'll take the first one. The most basic type of primer is one that just primes your face, and we've given this one the clever name of Prime Only. I was going for, you know, Primeval or Primordial sure. or Not Yet Ready for Prime Time, but my suggestions got shot down, so we're just going to call this Prime Only.
Well, you didn't take Prime Directive either, but this little Star Trek-y.
Excellent. All right, so anyway, it's kind of obvious, but all this type of product does is, you know, smooth your face, just like you described, and it gives you that surface that the makeup will adhere to better. Now, most of these types of primers are combinations of a volatile silicone with a heavier silicone, because that volatile silicone will evaporate, and I'm talking here about ingredients like cyclopentasiloxane. So mm-hmm. that will evaporate off and leave your skin with a really smooth finish. Now, some of those are based on silicone and water emulsions instead of just straight silicone, so those are going to give your skin a little bit of a different feel, but they function basically the same way. Now, these prime-only primers may or may not contain mattifying ingredients. So these would be powders to help reduce shine. Typically, you'll see the powders in the formulas that are mixtures of water and silicone. My guess is it's easier to disperse powders in those mixed media systems rather than in the straight silicones.
Yeah.
But you need to be careful because depending on how those are formulated, those powders may actually tend to accumulate in your fine lines and wrinkles and actually make you look worse. So you need to look out for that. So I thought for each of these three types of primers, we could give a couple of examples. And what we'll do is in the show notes, we'll list the full ingredients and the price and everything so you can see them. And we'll just briefly mention a couple of them here. So
sure.
Some examples of prime-only primers, and I'll go from least expensive to most expensive to kind of give you some context. The first one is the Wet n Wild brand makes one called Coverall Face Primer. This one costs a little less than $6 an ounce. And it's one of those water and silicone mixtures I mentioned. And again, check the show notes for the full ingredients. Then we have Rimmel's Stay Matte Primer. Now that's also based on water and silicone, but it includes talc to reduce shine. And that one costs about $7 an ounce. Then we have Ulta's Basic Primer, which is actually one of the products Jill mentioned in her email to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that one's almost pure silicone, so it's not surprising it's a little more expensive at $12.50 an ounce. Because remember, when you're adding water to a cosmetic formulation, you're almost always going to make that cheaper.
Right.
Next, there's Eman's Undercover Agent Oil Primer. You know, these primer formulas are really not that complicated. And all the products we list here, when you see these in the show notes, you know, they have between maybe, you know, 6 and 15 ingredients, something like that. Well, this Eman product wins the prize for ingredient bloat because it contains almost 30 different ingredients. I mean,
what?
Maybe that's why this stuff costs $16 an ounce. I mean, half of those are botanical extracts that won't do anything.
Right, right.
Well, well, that's not quite fair because one of the extracts is peppermint oil, which is a known irritant. So I guess it will do something. So getting your money's worth there.
So if you're looking for irritation, this might be the way to go.
Go for it. And then lastly in this category, let me mention another product that Jill asked about, and that's the Bare Minerals Primer. Now, this one is almost all silicone, and it sells for $24 an ounce, so it's definitely on the pricey end. Yeah. Now, here's the catch. The two main ingredients in this product are identical to the Ulta Primer that I just talked about. That's about a third of the cost. So, I mean, if you're trying to make a choice, Jill, between the Bare Minerals and the Ulta product, buy the Ulta product. It's cheaper, and the ingredients are almost the same.
You know, at least try it out and see.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
So anyway, so let the buyer beware, as they say. All right, Perry, you want to talk about the second type of primer?
All right, the second type of primer, which we cleverly denote as the Prime Plus Color Correct. This one not only primes the skin, but it also provides some color correction. You know that, and that can happen in two ways. First, the primer may contain some of the same pigments that you'd find in a foundation, which are typically iron oxides. This kind of primer provides an extra layer of color that evens out your skin tone in addition to evening out the skin texture. The other type of color correction product fights redness. These anti-redness primers contain a green-tinted pigment, which essentially cancels out the redness of your skin. You know, complementary colors will cancel out. So that means you start with more of a neutral skin color, so theoretically your makeup will look better. Mm-hmm. This is particularly helpful if you have rosacea or some other skin color condition that causes redness. So let's look at a couple examples of this type of primer. There's one from Maybelline called the Instant Age Rewind. It is about $10 per ounce. It's silicone-based, but doesn't contain a volatile silicone, so I'd be a little worried that this one might feel a little heavier on your skin. And now it contains several colorants to help adjust to your skin tone, so that is that kind of the color benefit there. Then we have the NYX Studio Perfect Photo Loving Primer, green version. So this one, in addition to having the iron oxides, it contains a green tint to counteract that redness that we talked about. This one is approximately $12 an ounce. Then there's another Ulta product called their Flawless Primer. Unlike their basic primer, this one contains pigments, so it's not surprising that it's more expensive. This one's about $18 per ounce. And then finally, we have the L'Oreal Paris Anti-Redness Primer, which is a water and silicone mixture. It contains talc and starches, which can make the product feel draggy, but that may offset that may be offset by the inclusion of nylon particles, which act as little ball bearings, and that'll make it feel a little more slippery on the face when you put it on. This product sells for $19 per ounce. So you can see these ones with this extra color, in general, are a little more pricey than that first type. So that brings us to the third type. What about the last type of primer, Randy?
Yeah, these are the multifunctional primers. So they have the priming plus color correcting plus anti-aging. So these may include anti-aging ingredients. Actually, I mean, these may be in addition to or instead of the color correction products, but they do provide multiple functions, allegedly. The most common of the anti-aging ingredients is some sort of sun protection factor. You know, as we've said before, you don't want to rely on any type of makeup as the sole source of your sun protection. But if you're layering your products, if you're using a facial sunscreen, then, you know, a little extra sunscreen in your primer can only help. Now, keep in mind, though, you know, sunscreen ingredients are very expensive, and, you know, this is going to drive up the cost of the primer. So if you're going to do that, expect to pay more. Now, there are other anti-aging ingredients besides sunscreens that one can find in primers, but there's little evidence that these are going to be effective when delivered this way. You'll see peptides used, for example, in some primers. or some retinoids or niacinamide. Now, these are, you know, can all be effective anti-aging ingredients, but typically they're not going to be used at the concentrations that you would find in a dedicated anti-aging product. So you're probably wasting your money if you're trying to get anti-aging out of a primer.
Right.
Again, with the exception of, you know, maybe getting a little boost to your sunscreen, you know, that may provide some benefit. So let's look at a couple of examples. There's CoverGirl's Simply Ageless Primer that does contain a UV absorber, but I think it's just a lower amount since the product is not classified as a true sunscreen. Because, you know, you can put a UV absorber in any product for that matter.
Right.
And as long as you're not, you know, making any sunscreen claims, you know, perhaps you're just saying that that absorber is in there to protect the formula from UV light. You know, you're not saying it's in there to protect your skin. Then you don't have to follow the over-the-counter drug laws for sunscreens.
Right.
But if you have the ingredient in there and you make the claim that it protects your skin, then you have to, you know, the product has to be labeled a certain way. You have to use a certain amount of the sunscreen active. So this one kind of falls in that gray area. It does contain
right.
the absorber, but it's not a true sunscreen. So
right,
it makes
right.
me a little bit skeptical. This one also contains niacinamide, which we know from one of our previous shows. That's a good anti-aging ingredient, as well as a peptide. And that sells for about $15 an ounce. Physician's Formula has a 3-in-1 product that is a true sunscreen. In fact, this formula looks more like a facial sunscreen than it does a primer. In addition mm-hmm. to the SPF agents, they use titanium dioxide and zinc oxide. It also contains mineral oil, water, silicone, and hydrocarbons. So it is almost more like just a facial sunscreen. And it's also a color-correcting product as well. So that one sells for $22 per ounce. And finally, there's Dermalogica's Age Smart SPF 30. And that's also silicone-based, also uses zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, and includes not only a couple of pigments, but also several peptides. I thought it was interesting that this one's formulated, you know, they make a point of telling you it's formulated without artificial fragrance and color, but then
right.
they include natural extracts that contain known allergens and irritants. So
oh,
they're
my.
Using natural extracts, but they still have to list fragrance allergens because they're in there. So, like, if you're going to get rid of fragrance, then don't put extracts in that have fragrance allergens.
Right, that's very, very quizzical.
And then, to me, it was a surprising choice for a product that sells for over $60 an ounce. I mean, you'd expect
wow.
more from, I mean, this is the most expensive product we looked at.
Yeah.
And it made sort of the most egregious error, at least in the regard of, you know, fragrance allergens. So anyway.
Well, you know, when I put on SPF 30 sunscreens, I can feel them on my skin. It seems like this would be kind of a heavy thing to use as a primer.
It certainly could be. So you know, you may or may not like that.
Right, right.
All right. So now that we've kind of given you a snapshot of the different types of primers, let's get back to Jill's question about using an anti-chafing gel as a primer.
Yeah. Jill asked specifically about Monistat's Chafing Relief Powdered Gel Skin Protectant. If you look at the ingredients, you'll see that they are almost identical to a couple of the prime-only products that we just discussed. It's based on
Lollapalooza? It's based on Lollapalooza. Didn't you just tell me there were no big names that you had to pronounce in today's show?
I'm all excited now that there's a long word here. it's based on cyclopentasiloxane and a dimethicone copolymer ingredients, and it costs about $4 per ounce, which is less than many other similar products. Therefore, if you're looking for basic priming, this is actually a good option.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the formula that would stop you from using it on your skin. Also, since it's an over-the-counter drug as a skin protectant, it must have a high level of dimethicone,
yeah.
So you might find that it works even better for your skin. But it's certainly worth a try, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to give you some of those additional benefits like the color correction or any anti-aging, but if you're in that prime-only category,
right.
you can't really beat that for the price, so it's certainly worth a try.
This one's a prime mover. Been waiting all show to use that one.
You know, it's kind of funny, but it's somehow satisfying to me that sometimes these crazy-sounding internet suggestions are actually right.
Yeah,
you know,
well...
Maybe you can make yogurt with your vagina. I don't know. I have to read about that. You know, I thought it was interesting that Jill wondered if she was just imagining that she could get any benefit from her makeup primer. And I mean, this makes total sense, right? She's, you know, relying on her memory to compare how well her makeup lasted one day when she used a primer compared to another day when she didn't use primer, or, you know, maybe comparing to a third day where she used a different brand of primer. Maybe she didn't wear the same brand of makeup, but, you know, and then there could have been external factors. You know, maybe she, it was raining on one day and her makeup washed off, or she was wearing a sweater that she pulled on and off and that removed some makeup. I mean, there's a lot of variables there. So the point is, you know, it's difficult for you to track all these things if you're just trying to figure out how well a product works for you. And that's, you know, partly because you're relying on memory and partly because of all these external factors. Well, being the helpful cosmetic chemist that we are, we're going to give Jill a little tip on how to do a much better job of evaluating her makeup primer. Now, it's really simple when you think about it, but you can do your own half face test. And we use this test all the time in the lab because it eliminates variables. Here's how it could work for her. So, Jill, just draw an imaginary line down the middle of your face. And on one side, apply the makeup primer of your choice. And on the other side, apply a different brand of primer, or, you know, don't use any primer at all. Then apply your makeup exactly the same way on both sides. Now, at the end of the day, you know, you can either look in the mirror and judge for yourself, or, you know, you can ask your friends and loved ones to see if they can see a difference between the two sides of your face. Now, you can't do this test just once because any single data point can be a fluke. So you need to do it a couple of times, and you need to switch the sides of your face that you're, you know, using as the test and control, because you may have some, you know, unconscious bias based, you know, maybe your right hand is better at applying makeup than your left hand or something. So you need to make sure you switch sides of your face, do it a few times. But if you do this test, Jill, it will certainly settle the question of whether or not you're just imagining the benefits you're getting from your primer. And that'll tell you that, you know, maybe you don't need to use a primer at all. Or maybe it'll tell you that you could get away with a less expensive brand. Or maybe it'll tell you that the best product for you is the more expensive one. But then at least you'll know. So
right.
Either way, hopefully you'll find that helpful.
And actually, that technique can work with all kinds of different products, you know.
Oh, yeah. So very helpful.
And we, you know, skin products, hair products, half face, half head done over the course of, you know, it's probably a couple of weeks to do it, right?
But if you were testing that monkey butt cream you were talking about, it would be a half-assed test.
That's good stuff. That's why I keep you on the show.
All right. Should we wrap this up and give a bottom line to Jill?
Yeah, let's give... Here's the Beauty Brains bottom line, Jill. Makeup primers work by smoothing over imperfections in your skin and by helping color cosmetics stick better. In addition to priming your skin, some primers also offer some color protection and even some minor anti-aging benefits and some sunscreen benefits, too. If you just want the basic priming benefits and you want to save a few dollars, you can certainly use a product like the Monostat Anti-Chafing Powder Gel. If you need other features like anti-redness or mattifying, then you're better off with a conventional primer.
Yeah.
And then finally, if you're not sure that you're getting your money's worth out of a primer or any other product for that matter, you do your own half-face test and see if the product actually is having an impact.
Yeah, that's good advice. There's another test you could do, too, I just thought of. You could buy our latest book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know.
And just read the first half of the book and see if you like it. There's there you go. It's our half book test.
Or they could read the second half of the book.
Well, either way, just buy the damn book, okay?
Right. And if you've already bought the book, you can also follow us on Twitter, we're the Beauty Brains, or like us on Facebook.
Because we've already talked about the kind of stories you're missing by not following us on social media. That whole yogurt thing, you know.
And how's our Pinterest page coming along?
We actually have some new followers on Pinterest. I haven't pinned anything lately, but we do have some loyal pinners.
I have not embraced the Pinterest world yet. I'm scared of it. it's too visual for me. All right, I guess we've talked the hell out of this show. So we've got your beauty knowledge already,
yep.
Your side dish of quirkiness and a little humor.
Check.
So I guess that brings us to the end of the show.
And this is the point where I thank you and thank our audience. And then tell everybody to remember to be brainy about their beauty. Thanks, everybody.
Wait, isn't it brainy about your beauty?
Brainy about their beauty.